Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Tonight, you're listening to the Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, here in the woods of Alabama at our undisclosed location here in the deep woods. We welcome you tonight, along with my co-host, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter. We are glad that you're with us tonight. And, of course, this is the time if you want to email somebody and say, hey, tune in to the show tonight. It'll bless you. I believe God has a word of warning for us tonight. We're going to dig into the issue of, and I believe, a prophetic word that has been confirmed to me through some people, even some people in my family, where a prophetic dream came. And we're going to talk about that tonight and a little bit about just some prophecies given by some very credible prophets over the years about a surprise attack on the United States from Russia. But we're going to cover, as we get into this, we're going to cover first Russia's place in end-time prophecy. A lot of people don't know because, of course, the Bible doesn't say a lot of the newer names of countries. So you have to dig back and you have to go to regions where these countries were. I've shared it many times before, like the country right now of Jordan, for instance, is the ancient land in the Bible. It was known as the land of Edom, Ammon, and Moab. And so that region now of Edom, Ammon, and Moab is the modern country of Jordan. And so there's many things like that. The Bible doesn't say Russia, but we can look at the names of certain people groups, and we trace them back and where they migrated to, and we find out that the Bible's speaking about, especially end time prophecy, we have to look at the geographical locations of these names of these people that are in the Bible. But there is no doubt that Russia is deeply involved in end time prophecy. We see them, of course. Everybody thought that Russia, meaning old Russia, had gone away when the Cold War ended. Supposedly the Cold War ended in 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, and everything like that happened. Everybody thought that Perestroika and Glasnost and Mikhail Gorbachev was just, they were becoming like the United States, and it was all a game. And now we, there were people back then, that laughed at end-time Bible prophecy, saying that the Russians would get involved with the Arabs and the countries around Israel, Persia, which is Iran, and other countries, and they would get involved and end up in a war against Israel. And people would laugh about that, especially when, Glasnost and Perestroika and the Soviet Union supposedly fell apart. But, of course, God's word always comes to pass, and we have seen the resurgence of Russia under Vladimir Putin. We've seen the resurgence of their ideology of taking over other countries now, of taking back the Eastern Bloc countries that they lost. Trying to control the energy routes by taking Crimea and possibly maneuvering, it looks like, to take the Ukraine when it's favorable for them to do so. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the plans that Russia have to cripple the United States, both economically and militarily, is moving on. And we've had Soviet defectors since the 1960s. We're talking about high-level KGB agents who defected to the United States and have been warning us for years of the plan, the long-term plan. They even warned us that there would be a perestroika, that there would be a phony move within the Soviet Union to look like they were becoming a democracy, and really that they were going to do that so that they could gain our technology and get us to disarm so that later on they could just go back to the original plan and take us over. But there's no doubt in my mind that both when we look at the Bible, when we look at the geopolitical situation in the world, and when we look at what the Holy Spirit is saying through prophets and through the people of God right now, there will be a shocking surprise attack on the United States. And I believe what the Lord is revealing, as I'm going to share a dream from a sister, actually my sister-in-law had a dream, and she's not one much given to having prophetic dreams, but this was so powerful and such a confirmation of all this, I feel like it's important to share, because in her dream, it was a visit to the White House, and it was very significant, had to do with Russia, and it had to do with a surprise from Russia. Also, just a few years ago, I don't know if it was 2-3 years ago now, but John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick of the Church of His Presence, the former pastor of the Brownsville Revival, the Brownsville Assembly of God, had a prophetic word from the Lord within the word resurrection. Resurrection was an acronym for several different points of a prophetic word. And one of the things that he shared, again, this was 2-3 years ago, he shared that Russia would bring a surprise. Now, I think for the most part, the invasion of Crimea was a surprise for a lot of people. You know, it's interesting. Everybody thought that, what's her name? What's the governor of Alaska's name? Yeah, Sarah Palin. Everybody thought she was a big dummy. Well, you know, during the campaign, she was talking about, you know, that weakness, if we showed weakness in certain aspects, that, you know, Putin would see that and try to take the Ukraine. And everybody laughed and mocked her, but of course she ended up being right. Now, not that I agree with Sarah Palin on everything or even believe she's, you know, where she ought to be in understanding what's going on. But still, it's just interesting when you look at that. But I think that the surprise from Russia is a bigger surprise coming. I don't think it's just the Ukraine or Crimea. I think it's a much bigger surprise. We're going to look at some prophecies from a prophet by the name of Henry Groover this evening that are very significant, and I'm going to share this dream. So I hope you stay with us tonight. We're going to take a break here in just a second. We're going to come back with the news. Again, this is an opportunity during the break. I want you to call somebody, Facebook somebody, share the link, encourage people to listen tonight, because there's going to come a point in the near future that we won't have the ability to share these things and to warn people and to give them these things through technology, through the internet, and so on down the line. So we want to be able to get the truth out to as many people as possible so that they'll know several things. Number one, God is not caught off guard. The Bible prophecy is true, and the Bible is the inspired word of God and proven by these very specific prophecies. We're going to look at some of the other issues where the Bible points out Russia would be involved. So I think you're going to find it interesting tonight, and maybe a little scary, but just remember this. No matter what happens to America, and no matter what happens through all that, that the only real safe place anyway is to be in Jesus Christ, to be in Him through faith in His blood, the blood of His cross, through His resurrection, that you've repented of your sins, you've been born again, and you know that He is your refuge and your fortress. And that's what we wanted to emphasize to everybody. These things are going to happen. These are not scare tactics. These are not ifs. These are when these things happen. The only way that you will not be terrified and your heart will not fail you for fear and you will be ready for whatever comes your direction is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He is your Messiah, that He is your refuge, that He is your provider, that He can work miracles for you and your family, and that He can protect you and deliver you in the midst of all that. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. You hear that rooster crow?
Bible prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Early this morning, sirens sounded in Tel Aviv at the Ben Gurion Airport. All U.S. flights to Tel Aviv were diverted to other destinations. Delta Airlines and United Airlines has suspended service between the U.S. and Israel indefinitely. U.S. Airways canceled its one Tuesday flight to Tel Aviv as well. The Federal Aviation Administration issued a notice to airmen to not fly into the area for 24 hours. The cause of the early morning sirens at the airport was a rocket strike near the airport fired from Gaza. Over 2,000 rockets have been fired by Gaza and Hamas at Israel in the past 2 weeks. Hundreds of flights were also disrupted in Shanghai. They were delayed or completely canceled as Chinese authorities imposed strict air traffic control measures, reportedly due to military exercises. This marks the second time a near total shutdown of airspace in Shanghai has occurred in the last 2 weeks. Staying with aviation news, Russian military says the detected Ukrainian Su-25 fighter plane was close to the Malaysian Airlines flight that was shot down by a missile, killing all 298 passengers aboard. Both Russian and Ukrainian rebels are pointing their fingers at each other for the blame of this tragic event. ISIS is still in the news. They're still wreaking havoc as its members torched an 1,800-year-old church in Mosul. It was reported that this has left the city of Mosul empty of Christians, as surviving believers have all fled the area, fearing for their lives. The United Nations has been busy as well. The UN has been pushing extremely hard for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza between Hamas and Israel. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has made it quite clear he does not favor Israel's aggressive defense of their homeland. 2,000 rockets. If 2,000 rockets were fired at the United States or at Russia or France or any other country, there would never be made mention of them defending their homeland. But because it's Israel, the UN is frowning upon that. That says a lot in itself, folks. There are also some reports that the UN is trying to involve themselves in the U.S. border crisis under the guise of humanitarian support. Bubonic plague reported in Shanghai, China as well. The chikungunya virus has been contracted in the U.S. The deadliest, rarest form of plague has been contracted near Denver, Colorado. There was another 6.2 quake that rocked Japan, and U.S. food prices continue to escalate. All this as our country continues to train foreign troops on our own soil. Those are the news headlines for today.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Thank you.
right, we're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell. We're going to get into our subject tonight about Russia in Bible prophecy and also the prophetic revelation, I believe, that God has given to the body of Christ, a warning, especially for the church in America and for the people of America, that there will be a surprise from Russia, a surprise attack on the continental United States. Now, we are going to share these things. Hype or anything else, not trying to hype. If I didn't feel like the Holy Spirit was saying these things, we wouldn't share them. It's just that simple. But we're going to look, first of all, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 and look at some passages here. But it's very important that we understand what the Bible does say about this end time war. When we see Israel now in Gaza in a full-on war with Hamas in Gaza, not looking like it's easing up anytime soon. And of course, we know that as Hamas gets in more and more trouble and they feel like they're getting pressed against the wall, they're probably going to start calling out to their Arab brothers in other nations to help them, like Lebanon, Turkey, Iran, of course. So we are in a situation where it could heat up very quickly. You know, of course, we've seen these battles go on between Israel and Gaza at different times. We've seen them go on between Israel and southern Lebanon at different times, and then they cool down and we've had a space. So we don't know. We're not trying to say we know for sure that this is it, because we don't know. We may have a cool down and then a heat back up again later. But it is very possible that this may move on into the broader war that the Bible prophesies in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Of course, many know Psalm 83. There's the same, I believe, the same war prophesied there, because it lists the nations who would be involved in coming against Israel in the last days, and that this war would it would be serious, and that God would have to step in and help Israel. What's interesting is right before the show, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson here showed me a article that someone posted. Was it on Facebook? Where one of the Hamas soldiers said that, speaking about Israel, he said their God directs their rocket, the rockets we fire, in a different path or something like that. This wouldn't be the first time this has happened. I was in Israel in 1988 and heard stories from soldiers that during, of course, the 73 war, that there were times that that God intervened, that angels were seen by the enemy, and that angels caused tanks to turn around and enemies to run. So God will fight for his plan. It's not always the people have to be perfect. I don't think that the Israelis are perfect, that the Israeli government's perfect by any means. I don't believe that they don't make mistakes. I don't believe that there's not abuses both on both sides. But I can look at the picture and see who's trying to do things the right way and who doesn't care. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Hamas and you know, pretty much your radical Arab jihadists, they don't really care about their own, whether it be women and children or even their own soldiers. They don't care. They'll just put anybody in harm's way to make a point. And but that's not even the purpose of this tonight. But just to show you that, this thing may escalate. But you have to know that what the Bible says about Russia being involved in the end times prophecies, and that their resurgence under Vladimir Putin, the former KGB chief, is not by accident. So let's read 38. We're just going to read from, say, verse 3 on through down about verse 10. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia," or Iran, "Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare thyself, you and all your company that are assembled unto thee, and thou art a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years." Now this is a time, this is a phrase in Hebrew that means in the last days. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people. So he said, you're going to come into the land that I have gathered out of many nations from the sword. That would be the Jewish people, the Israelis. They began to be gathered back in 1948, really some before that, but 1948, and then I was there in 1988. I was on airplanes with Jews coming from all over Europe, returning home to the land of Israel. It was an amazing thing to get off that plane and see people kissing the ground. But history and Bible prophecy was being fulfilled where God was gathering the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth and bringing them back to the nations, back to their nation. And he says they will dwell safely. And he says even against the mountains of Israel, which have been waste, and they were brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Then he says this. He says, thou shalt ascend, that means to go up into the air, and come like a storm. Now we have to remember that this was written, of course, about 2,600 years ago, long before airplanes, right? But he says you will ascend, meaning you will go up into the air and come like a storm in the air, in the clouds. So he was talking about an army that would fly in the air like a storm toward Israel. So again, the Bible prophecy is very specific and way ahead of its time. But he says you will ascend, you will come like a storm, and that you will be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. And thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and you will think an evil thought. And of course the evil thought is that they would take over the nation of Israel and eradicate the one little democracy and free country in the land. And of course Israel's found oil, so that's another reason I think that they're going to be wanted here. But let's go back and let's look at this when it talks about, I'm against thee, O Gog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And he says Gog and Magog. And then he starts talking about Persia. Now, before we look at Russia to prove that Gog and Magog is Russia in the scriptures, let's look at the groups that he says going to come with them against Israel in the last days. Persia. We know that Persia is Iran now. Ethiopia. The ancient region of Ethiopia also included the Sudan. We have Libya. Everybody knows where that is in North Africa. And then we have Gomer and all his bands and the house of Togarmah in the north quarters. That would pretty much cover the entire nation of Turkey in that area. Okay. Then he says, and many people with thee. And that would be, I would say, Lebanon and Syria. He's throwing them in the mix because he talks about the nations to the north. And, of course, to the north of Israel is Lebanon and Syria to the north. And it says, after many days you will be visited. Now, the house, I said that, the house of Togarmah, Gomer is Turkey. Now, a lot of people want to argue and say that Magog is really just Turkey. But there's a little more to it than that. Because what we have to look at, we have to go back and we look at ancient maps. We go back and we listen to ancient historians. And we also have the benefit now of there being many archaeological discoveries that prove where certain people, groups migrated to and from. And so what we have here is we know from Josephus and others, we know that the Magogites, that they were people who migrated from the Middle East up above the Black Sea and became what the Greeks called the ancient Scythians. Now we're going to read this. This is going to go back here, and we're going to go back and for those of you who want more details on this, of course, I have an article on dnodal.org called "The Rise of Islam, Russia, and the Coming Nuclear War," and you can go look that up at dnodal.org, but and read all the details. But you have to ask the question, okay, how do we know that Russia is Gog and Magog? Well, the Roman historian Josephus from the early 2nd century gives us an important clue in his 20-volume classic, Antiquities of the Jews. He wrote of the descendants of Noah, and this is what he said. After they were dispersed abroad on account of their languages, they went out by colonies everywhere, and each colony took possession of that land unto which God led them. Magog founded those that from him were named Magogites, but who are by the Greeks called Scythians. Now, the Encyclopedia of Britannica says that a Scythian, excuse me, a Scythian is a member of a nomadic people originally of Iranian stock who migrated from Central Asia to southern Russia in the 8th and 7th centuries B.C. Scythians founded a rich and powerful empire that survived for several centuries. So we know this is from an ancient historian. And then we have the New York Times bestselling author Joel C. Rosenberg went to Russia in 2004 when he was doing research for his book, The Ezekiel Option. And this is what he discovered while he was there. He said, so while we were in Moscow, we toured the State Historical Museum, which is something like our Smithsonian, but this was for Russia in Moscow. And he said, sure enough, as we spent several hours walking the floors of the enormous red brick building facing Red Square, we found in glass case after glass case numerous Scythian artifacts dug up by Russian archaeologists and anthropologists, and all on display in the Russian equivalent of our Smithsonian. Not only was the Russia's Scythian heritage real, as we learned, but the Russian government was proud to let the whole world know. So we see very clearly from both a first century, our early second century Jewish historian Josephus, that he revealed his knowledge concerning where the Magogites migrated to. And then we see in the Russian Smithsonian that their ancient heritage in the region and artifacts and things that they claim to be the ancient Scythians or the ancient Magogites. So that's all we really need to know. I mean, there really should be no further debate on the subject. We have ancient historians that have been found to be credible and correct, and we have artifacts and museums that display these things. So it shouldn't be a big deal. To me, a lot of times these debates that happen within the theological realms of Christianity in America just make me marvel because, how many facts do you need? How much truth do you need? But anyway, so knowing that Gog and Magog is Russia, knowing that Gomer and the House of Togar is Turkey, knowing that he mentions Iran and is Persia and then Libya. So we know he's talking about the nations around Israel, surrounding the land of Israel. Now we know not only are they Arab nations, but they're primarily all of them are Muslim nations. And we know that Russia is in league with Turkey. They're in big-time league with Syria, with Bashar Assad of Syria. And they're, hard and fast allies with the Persians or the Iranians, helping them build their nuclear facilities, giving them arms. Matter of fact, most of the weaponry within the Middle East has come from Russia. It's Russian. Matter of fact, a lot of these a lot of the agreements started out being arms deals. And then they evolved into, building nuclear facilities and so on down the line. I think Russia, it's pretty obvious that Russia drew a line in the sand when it came to Syria, when the United States and Barack Obama started talking about helping overthrow Bashar Assad. And, of course, Russia said, no, you won't. And here comes Russian fleet moving into the Mediterranean and Russia delivering missiles to Bashar Assad and all kinds of things. So Russia drew a line in the sand concerning Syria, and they have definitely, drawn a line in the sand concerning Iran if there's an attack on Iran. A lot of people don't know this, but that in 1982, there was a planned invasion of Israel from Lebanon with Russians and Lebanese working together, but the Israelis discovered their tunnels and their cache of weapons in 1982 and kind of thwarted that attack and embarrassed the Russians and embarrassed, of course, the Lebanese. So these are things you can see where the devil has these things in his mind, these evil thoughts in his mind, and he's been stirring the Russians and, of course, the Muslims around Israel for a long time to bring about these final acts of atrocity, these final attempts to annihilate Israel and do away with the Jewish people, the Jewish land, to do away with the prophecy. Basically, Satan's trying to prove the prophecies of the Bible wrong. That's why he's fighting the Jews so hard. God said he would bring them back to the land in the last days. The book of Amos chapter 9 says not only would God bring them back to the land in the last days, but when he did, they would not be removed ever again. So, you know, I've heard Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, actually quote that verse in a speech at the UN. We are, you know, we will not be moved out of this land again. And, of course, we know that Israel has, hundreds and hundreds. Nobody knows how many, for sure, nuclear weapons and nuclear missiles that they have. And, you know, they're standing their ground, and they're going to stand their ground by whatever means is necessary. So I think that the only thing that really holds back the Arab nations right now around them is knowing that Israel is not like the United States. We don't, especially now with our President Barack Obama, he's all talk and no do, right? Unless it's for, you know, some liver-eating barbarian in the Middle East that's in the Muslim Brotherhood, he'll help them, but not Israel or anybody else. But, you know, they know that Israel, if they say it and they feel like they're going to be overwhelmed, that they're going to do it. They're going to, you know, they'll push the button. And that's when things are going to get real interesting, real sporty, as they say. But this thing right now with Russia and the, whoever did it, they had Russian weapons, you know. And you had to have Russian training to shoot down that Malaysian airliner. I don't even care if it was a mistake. I don't think you accidentally hit a plane with 108 experts on AIDS who were getting ready to possibly say that AIDS was man-made virus in a laboratory, and all of a sudden they disappear. But still, whoever did it, it's a horrible act. And it looks to be Russian or Russian involvement to some degree. You know, people say, well, it could be the globalist. We have our globalists. The Russians have their globalists. I mean, you know what I'm saying. The globalists are everywhere. So regardless, though, this is inciting tensions in the region. And sure enough, you know, I just believe that if Russia feels pushed a little too hard by the United States, by Mr. Barry Soroto, whatever his real name is, Barack Obama, I feel like that, you know, if Russia feels pushed in the corner, that would do. These are just things the way they are, right? But we do know that Russia is going to join with the Arab nations at some point and attack Israel. But that's really not what the show is about tonight. The show is about, will the Russians eventually surprise attack the United States? Now, I'm going to flip over here. You guys got anything you want to add here on this?
Well, one thing about this is the second incident with Malaysian Airlines. And you had mentioned on this last one that went down that there was AIDS experts on it. Well, wasn't there experts on the first one as well?
Mm-hmm.
That disappeared? So once again, I mean, there's a trend that it's almost like that they don't even mask what they're doing anymore.
Right.
You know, as our discernment increases, it's easier to see through the fog and see the truth of what's going on. So, it's definitely a connect-the-dot type of a situation.
Right.
But it's ironic, and they're actually happening so close to each other. So that just more or less confirms that, you know, we are in the last days. Things are speeding up. You know, the word urgency that we all know so well in our hearts is paramount right now. But time is being sped up.
Amen.
It's interesting.
Amen. You know, this Sunday morning, for some of you, you may have been listening to our service that we broadcasted, but this Sunday morning, the power of God just really came into our service in a powerful way. It's rare that when I get up to preach or teach that the presence and power of God's on me so strong that I'm shaking. But the power of God was on me, and of course, this wasn't some weird, you know, charismatic shaking. I'm talking about a trembling at the reverence and the fear of God and the soberness of the moment. But basically the word God gave me for Sunday morning was that time is running out for America. And it was so powerful that, I mean, I just really didn't even plan on sharing that Sunday morning at all. That wasn't in my plans, but the Holy Spirit just came over me during prayer that morning And then as I went to church and as we got into praise and worship, the Lord even had me cut praise and worship short one song just because the Lord was so strong on me that he wanted me to speak the word that time is running out for America. Now, what I didn't share in the service that I'm going to share here tonight is that my brother and his family, they're all strong, spirit-filled Christians, love the Lord. My brother's been saved a long time. And his wife, of course, he met at my church that I started in Montgomery, Alabama, back in the 90s. Her and her family were the first members at the new, when we started the church there. And of course, then he came from Dallas when he was working in a ministry out there, and they met and got married. But just so you know, I mean, he is given to have prophetic dreams and visions. God really has the call of an intercessor on his life. He's a man of prayer, and his children, he's got a son and a daughter, and both of them have had prophetic dreams that have come to pass. Even Ben, his son, had a dream about the oil spill before it happened, the Gulf oil spill with the Deepwater Horizon there. But my brother, of course, he's had the prophetic dreams about, he did before the whole Arab Spring and the earthquake out of Egypt. He saw Egypt being shaken and it causing an earthquake through the whole Arab world, and he shared that with me, and we shared that at church and things. So God gives them some prophetic revelation. Well, my sister-in-law, Marcia, she's really kind of quiet. You know, she's not wanting to preach or teach. She's not wanting to be out there and do things. But it's interesting because God will give, you know, and I talked about this Sunday morning in our church service, that you got to be open to listen to God. God can speak through anybody to you. Because I shared even last week how God gave a prophetic word through my little 4.5-year-old daughter, Faith. And so you got to be humble enough, though, to listen. Yes, will God speak to you directly? Can he speak? He says, you know, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Yes, all of us true born-again Christians can hear from the Lord Jesus and be led by his Holy Spirit and know what he's saying, and we can know things to come. But you also got to be able to listen to God speak through other people, because sometimes he's going to check your humility to see where you are on the subject. So anyway, my sister-in-law, they were all my family, all came to visit this weekend, which is very rare. My brother and my sister came, and all their families came. My dad from Tennessee and my brother and sister from Georgia, and everybody came and gathered at my house, which is a rare event. We figured the last time it happened was in 2009, that everybody was in the same place at the same time. So it was awesome. We had a great time. But right before they came, and I think this is even significant, that right before, I mean, the day before they came, or a day or two, something like that, Marcia had this dream where she was going to a party at the White House. And she was going into the White House, and she said that she was carrying a red balloon, and that the party at the White House was very casual, that, you know, nothing formal, nothing fancy or anything, but a very casual party was going on, and that she walked into the White House with this red balloon, but she hid it behind her back, and she hid it, and she walked into the middle of the White House, into the middle of the party, and pulled out the red balloon and popped it. And she said that when she popped the red balloon, the White House went into chaos and into panic. And when my brother heard this, immediately what he thought was red balloon, communism, the color red. And, of course, when he told me the dream, immediately I thought communism. But he went, this was on Friday, they went first to Montgomery to visit her parents, and then they came here. So Sunday after church, he shares with me what God showed him, because he said, he wondered why two things. Why was it Marcia, and why was it a red balloon, right? So he just Googled red balloon. Well, when he Googled red balloon, what came up was a 1957 movie called The Red Balloon. It was a European movie, but it won awards, and it got, you know, it was pretty popular over here as well. But the balloon, the red balloon, represented hope, but it was hope after the growing years of the Cold War between the United States and Russia after World War II and the nuclear arms race and all that began to happen, and everybody's tension about nuclear war. And so the balloon represented hope, you know, that wouldn't happen, right, that those tensions would never come about. And then he said, of course, another thing popped up, and he remembered there was a song in the 80s called 99 Red Balloons. And he said, we all remember those stupid song, pop songs in the 80s. You know, you didn't really pay attention always to the lyrics. But he said he went and he looked up the lyrics of the 99 Red Balloons song, and it was started talking about there being war and there being nuclear war and a city turning into dust and hope being gone, right? And so I may read those lyrics in a minute, but what I want to get to is, so we're sitting there going, wow, the red balloon, I believe we both felt like was Russia. Of course, we know, you know, Red Square and, you know, the Soviet Union, the color of communism and the color of the Soviet flag and all that stuff. We know red, 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 right? But anyway, so we're sitting there and we're thinking about that. And I thought to myself, you know, the only thing that would really catch President Obama and the White House and his staff and people around him and even the globalists, this would catch them off guard for Russia to surprise attack the United States on the East Coast or West Coast, or both, just something to cause chaos and panic and, you know, not total destruction, but an attack that would cripple our, you know, bring fear into our economy, cripple our economy, you know, take out some strategic points. So anyway, we came home from church, everybody left, back to Tennessee, back to Georgia. So we're sitting on the couch Sunday evening, and my wife just decides, you know, it was kind of odd that why would it be Marcia going into the White House and popping the balloon, right, that caused panic and chaos? Because Marcia is just a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. I mean, she's quiet and sweet, and, you know, she's not a troublemaker like us, but, you know. But my wife said, you know, my wife Nancy said, I just felt like I should look up her name. So she looked up Marcia's name. Marcia's name means of Mars, the god of war, warlike.
Wow.
Yeah. When all of this came through, I knew God was speaking that there would be a surprise from Russia. Just like John Kilpatrick said, he didn't say what it was. God didn't tell him what it was. But God told Pastor John Kilpatrick that there would be a surprise from Russia. Well, I believe the surprise is coming. Everyone's focused on what's going on in the Middle East. Everyone's focused on the Ukraine. Everyone's focused on the Malaysian jetliner. We're all focused on our own little world and our own little problems. I tell you this, there's going to be a surprise. Russia has had it in their plans to be a first strike on the United States for a very, very, very long time. Earlier in the program, I mentioned the Russian defectors, the KGB agents that defected. All of them said it was a long-term plan from the 60s, a long-term plan to weaken the United States, to get us to the place that they could first strike us and minimize our strike-back capabilities. Now, think about this. They've succeeded in getting a socialist communist president in that was trained by a communist and then, of course, funded by the Ayers family, the communists, the Weather Underground people. And then when you know, the eerie feeling of when you heard, you know, the hot mic pick up Barack Obama before the election saying, you know, after the election, he's telling the president of Russia, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. Flexibility for what? Well, what are we discussing? I believe we're being betrayed by our president. I believe we're being betrayed not just by our president, but by many within the House and the Senate that have sold out to this globalist plan, this globalist agenda. And, you know, what the Bible has always said was, you know, the beast in Revelation 13, the beast that rises up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, when it rises up out of the sea, it first says it has the body of a leopard and the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, right? It's this thing trying to come together from many different countries, many different aspects. But by the time you see this beast in Revelation 17 at the end, this same beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, it's no longer this conglomeration. It is one solid beast, and it's red. It's red. And the reason why it's red is because the form of government that's coming via the UN, the world government, the world globalist, the world federation, whatever they're going to call it, is going to be a communistic-style totalitarian government that controls everything, controls all economic trade. And that's what Revelation 13 said, that everyone will be forced to have a chip in the hand, a mark of the beast, that no man may be able to buy or sell except he has the mark of the beast. And so ultimately it's going to be about controlling everything, all manufacturing, all production, all economic transactions. And so that is nothing else but a true communist form of government is what Russia was before. This, I believe, God is really, really giving us a warning that it's coming. Now, let me read this. Once I had, this was back in 2011, I had a vision, fasting one day, had a vision from the Lord about seeing the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States pretty well destroyed, kind of sporadically down each coastline hit and destroyed. So I saw these things happen, and so that's when I began to look. You know, I began to do a little research and say, were there some other prophets who came along, maybe in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, who said these things? And that's when I came across a guy named Henry Groover. I'd never heard of this prophet named Henry Groover. And anyway, he had shared a prophecy back in, this was in 1986. And this is what he said. He said, this was in 1986. He said he had a vision of an invasion of America and basically a massive destruction by the hands of Russians and Chinese soldiers. And he saw Russia moving by sea and air from the north to destroy America by, he said, nerve gas and nuclear weapons. He stated that the Russians will steal materials and will spoil the United States after the destruction. He said the death toll of Americans will reach over 120 million or 60% of the population. That's pretty wild right there. But this is what's eerie. This was in 1986. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, when will this happen? And this is, you got to remember, this is 1986. This is before the fall of communism, before the fall of the Berlin Wall, before Perestroika, before Glasnost and all that. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, when Russia opens her gates and lets the masses go free, the world will occupy themselves with transporting, housing, and caring for the masses and will begin to let their weapons down and will cry peace and safety. And that's when it will happen. Well, of course, we know that in 1986, the Iron Curtain was very strong. Russia held their people in the Eastern Bloc countries with an iron fist. But in 1989, Russia began to fall apart. They began to, and it's interesting how he worded it. They said the Lord, that Russia will let their people go. They let it happen. They didn't have to do it. Nobody forced them. They let it happen. And, of course, 3 years later, after this prophecy, the first part comes to pass. Now, here's where it even gets more eerie. We all know, or most people know, that the Denver airport has some very strange, just creepy murals all over it. And then, of course, when you do a little looking into the Denver airport, we know something's built underneath there. There's a city, there's a bunker, a massive bunker, some type of underground city built there. I mean, it's just not hidden knowledge. I mean, this is common knowledge, kind of well known now. Of course, there's a big plaque there saying that it's going to be the New World Airport or something like that. Just creepy, right? But the creepy murals on the walls have to do with Russian troops with gas masks on. And then there's another creepy one that has the Palestinian and Israeli conflict with the Palestinian flag and the Israeli flag. And it's almost like you're looking at some kind of prophetic mural, but from the dark side. What they are projecting to happen, or what they want to happen, or what they think is going to happen to bring it about. But anyway, this is just some of the warnings, I think. And you say, well, why in the world, why do we need to know these things? Well, we need to know these things because, first of all, God put them in the Bible for a reason. He warned us that there would be a massive war, that Russia would be involved in an end times, last days war against Israel with the Arab nations around them. That's mirrored in Revelation chapter 9. It's mirrored there when it says that a war will start at the Euphrates River region, Syria, you know, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, that a war will start there that will kill one-third of mankind. And so when you start putting all these pieces of the puzzle together, you realize that there's something very big on the horizon for the world in the last days. And the reason I believe God wants us to focus in on this in a strong, strong way is because there are so many people that have a flippant attitude. Even I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about Christian people that say they believe that the last days are here, that we're living in the last days. And they have a flippant attitude. They go, oh, well, you know, either they've got the pre-trib rapture myth and, oh, we'll be out of here before all that happens, which is one terrible lie they've been told. And then you've got the ones, oh, well, it'll, you know, I'm a pan tribulation. I love the people who make jokes. I'm a pan. It'll all pan out the way God wants it to. This whole idea of it doesn't really matter. When God said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, they need to do certain things, right? There's a lot of people who name the name of Jesus right now who, if they died, they are not ready to go to heaven. They will not go to heaven. They are workers of iniquity, workers of lawlessness. And there's so many that think because they know some of the things that are going to happen in the last days, like the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and the war in the Middle East and all these different things, the destruction of Damascus, they know all these little flash points of prophetic significance. They think, oh, when I see that, then I'll get my life right with God. And, I mean, I've heard people say these things. And I'm sitting here going, no, no, no. What if it's your city that's hit? In a moment, in a flash of light and heat, you're gone. And you enter heaven or hell at that moment. There's no purgatory. There's nobody doing masses to get you out of purgatory. There is no purgatory. You are ready. When you die, it's heaven with Jesus because you were born again and you were walking with him and living in a living relationship of obedience and submission and worship to him, or you were living a lie. You were living, I believe in Jesus, but I can live however I want to live, or, you know, you've never really been saved. You just, you know, Christianity is just something you've done in your family once in a while. You've gone to church on Christmas and Easter or whatever. There's a lot of people that are never going to see, and I've said it, but I'm going to keep saying it. You're never going to see the Antichrist rise to power. You'll never see the world government come to power. You're never going to see the issuance of the mark of the beast. You're never going to see them bring out the guillotines. You're never going to see this. You're never going to see a mushroom cloud because you're going to be gone in a flash. And then what? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every human being will stand before God at their death, and instantly the judgment of where we will spend eternity will be meted out. There will be a point where the body will be resurrected again and a final judgment meted out. But it's heaven or hell. That's why the Apostle Paul said for him to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Amen. But you got to know you're ready. Many people, remember, this ought to scare people to no end, what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Matter of fact, let's just turn there. I want to read it word for word. I just feel like the Lord wants us to go there tonight. Matthew chapter 7. Don't take Pastor Dean's word for it tonight. And for those of you listening tonight, pardon my voice, I've had a little too much activity with the voice this past week and a little under the weather as well, so I hope that's not too painful listening. But this is what Jesus said right here. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now this speaks of people who practice lawlessness, who won't obey God's commands, who won't obey his law, and who just work. Their life is just a habit, a lifestyle of doing their own thing and doing sin and naming the name of Jesus and thinking, well, I believe in Jesus, so it's all good. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wake up, folks. That's in the red part of my Bible. That's Jesus talking. He said, not everyone who calls me their Lord is going to enter into heaven, but only those who are doing the will of my Father, which is heaven. You say, well, what is the will of the Father? It's written in the book. From Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation, God's will is God's word. He has revealed it. And if there's anything else that he needs you to do, if you're doing what's already written, he'll speak to you and he'll tell you what to do. I've shared it many times. There's no scripture that says, Dean Odell, go to Auburn, Alabama and start a church. But because you do the will of God for your life that's already written, and you seek him and you know him, then you can hear him speak to you about other aspects of his will. But he says here, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who names the name of Jesus is going to heaven, but only those who are doing the will of his Father. And he says, many will prophesy, will say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons. We've done many wonderful works. And you know what? A lot of people try to say, well, these people never were saved. Well, I can just tell you this right now. You can't cast out a demon unless you're a Christian. What is he talking about here? I never knew you. Well, there's a passage in Ezekiel, chapter 18, chapter 33. It says this. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him and he dies, he says that man will be forgotten. That man will die in his sin, and all his righteousness that he has done will not be remembered anymore. See, just like if you repent and live an obedient life and you're a true Christian, you let Jesus be Lord of your life, the Bible says your sins are forgiven and God will throw them in a sea of forgetfulness and he will remember them no more. But if you're a backslider, if one time you've prophesied in his name, you've cast out demons in his name, you've done many wonderful works through the power of Jesus because you were a true believer, but you go back and live a sinful lifestyle where you work iniquity and you practice lawlessness, the Bible says that all your righteousness that you've done, all the good things, all the demons you cast out, all the miracles of healing, everybody you led to the Lord, every sermon you preached, whatever you did that was good and righteous, going to feed the poor, going to visit them in prison, it says won't even be remembered anymore. It'll be like you never did anything good. Nothing. It's a serious matter. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. We'll be back in just a moment.
The first thing the Lord Jesus told his disciples when they asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, was take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus repeated this warning four times in Matthew 24 alone. He even mentioned that these false prophets would do great signs and wonders. With that being said, why then has the church become so lax in guarding itself against deception? Why do most Christians continue to embrace almost anyone or anything that claims to be from God? In the polluted church, I will share how the Holy Spirit led me to the truth about the Egyptian desert fathers, the Roman Catholic Church, the emerging church, and the current prayer and prophetic movements in the charismatic church. Discover how the doors to the church have been opened wide to Satan by false prophets, counterfeit manifestations, and the use of Eastern meditative techniques such as repetitious prayers, visualization, and even astral projection. Chances are you or someone you know have been affected by these demonic practices and deceptions that have crept into the church. It is time to cleanse the house of God. Get your copy of The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City today by going to deanodell.org, or if you want an ebook, go to any ebook store and type in The Polluted Church.
living life the way that I wanted, but my eyes reminded me I'm not free. Believe the lies, so everything that I know says I gotta go, tired of going solo. But I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I'll finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to crawl. I'm not the one with two star hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of to live inside this man. I've been born again. I see you walking like you're living in fear, having trouble even looking at me. They would give you more than words, sick of people telling how it should be. What you download, where'd you get your info? You saw the hype show, now you're in the endo. Gonna tell you what I believe. Oh, this is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to draw. I'm not the one with two star hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of the life inside this man. I've been born again. We are the ones he called by name.
I never gonna look back.
Let go, let go, the guilt, the shame.
And I'm never gonna look back.
This is who I am.
We're back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we are on the subject tonight of a surprise attack from Russia. The clips you heard there were from the Red Dawn movies, one of the first one, the 2012 remake, and then, of course, 1984, the original Red Dawn. A lot of people out there don't believe it could happen to the United States, but it could definitely happen to the United States. In fact, any nation that turns its back on God and the church begins to fall away and to depend on the government and get involved in all kinds of compromise and worldliness. And, you know, and again, I've watched the church now for over three decades. I was going to church when I was 4 and 5 years old, so really, you know, four decades I've been able to see the deterioration of the church in America, and it's unbelievable. There really is just a remnant of believers now scattered in different parts of the country. I couldn't tell you, you know, as a minister that's online a lot on Facebook, on websites, you know, I mean, just dealing with our own website, our own Facebook and different things, how many people email me or text me or whatever and Facebook message me and say they wish they could find a church that believed the Bible, that taught what we are teaching, that are a lot of them are, you know, why won't people preach about this stuff? It's going on in the news. And they won't even talk about end times prophecy or the fact that Jesus is coming and that, you know, there's some things we need to get ready for. And you know, and it's not just that. I mean, I've had people all the time that just say, you know, where's the church that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but with balance and discernment and, you know. And I just realized there's just very few churches out there anymore that are balanced and that are in the Word of God and let the Word of God be the final authority and that are in touch with what the Holy Spirit's saying and let the gifts flow without getting weird and becoming charismaniacs. There's a hunger out there. And I believe, you know, the book of Amos talked about there would come a famine in the land, and I believe it was in the last days, a famine. He said, a famine of hearing the words of God, the true words of God. I mean, we got plenty of fluff and puff out there. We do have a caller, so we're going to take this call right now. And before we do that, though, just so you know, if you have a question or a comment out there, you're listening tonight, we're live right now. You can call in 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. 884-8566. But we're going to take this call right now. Okay. And Andrea, you're on.
Hey, Pastor Dean. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was going to call and talk to you about the song.
Yes.
I figured you knew I had something to say about that.
Right. Well, yeah, it's German.
Yes, it is. And do you know that it's not a direct translation?
What's that now?
The English translation that Nina put out is not a direct translation of the words.
Oh, really? Do you
yes.
have the translation of it?
So I looked it up on a website, and I have the German text and the English text next to each other.
Oh, good. Well, I want you to read that. Hang on a second, just to let everybody know.
So I can read it for you if you want me to.
I'll tell you
what it says.
Yeah. Let me just tell everybody, Andrea, of course, she goes to our church, and she is a German teacher. She teaches German, and she's very good at it. So, yes, I would love for you to read the lyrics to that song, 99 Red Balloons. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right, the first line. Hi, hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Do you have some time for me? Dann singe ich ein Lied für dich. Then I'm going to sing a song for you. Von 99 Luftballons, of 99 balloons. Luftballons is just the word for balloons, not red balloons.
Let me say this. Do this for me. Slow down a little bit because you're mixing. You're getting us. You're going so fast. It's easy for you, but not for us. So, yeah, just
all
slow
right,
down.
Speak
a little louder. Go ahead.
All right. So the first line is, hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Which means, do you have some time for me? Dann singe ich ein Lied für dich. Then I'm going to sing a song for you. Von 99 Luftballons, of 99 balloons. Luftballons is not a translation for red. It's just the word for balloons. Auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont, on their way to the horizon. Denkst du vielleicht gerade an mich? Or do you happen to be thinking of me right now? Dann singe ich ein Lied für dich. Then I will sing a song for you. Von 99 Luftballons, of 99 balloons. Und das sowas von sowas kommt. And that something from somewhat comes. And that's the first stanza.
Okay, keep going.
Then, all right, 99 Luftballons, 99 balloons. Auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont, on their way to the horizon. And then, Dean, you're going to like this next line. hielt man für UFOs aus dem All. So someone think, basically somebody's thinking that they're UFOs from space.
Wow.
Darum schickte ein General, for that reason a general sends, ein Fliegerstaffel hinterher. I'm not exactly sure what a Fliegerstaffel is, but I believe it's probably a type of plane. So they send out a type of plane or some type of announcement behind it. Alarm zu geben, to give alarm. Wenn es so war, if it was so. Dabei war da am Horizont, then on the horizon, nur 99 Luftballons. We're only three, well, not three, we're only 99 balloons. I thought it was funny about the UFOs.
Yes. Wow.
Then the last stanza, 99 Düsenjäger, 99 fighter jets. So when I looked up Düsenjäger just to double check myself, they said a picture of an F-16 came up as an example of a Düsenjäger. Jeder war ein großer Krieger. Everyone, each one of them was a big fighter or warrior, or it could be a shooter. Hielten sich für Captain Kirk, fancied themselves for Captain Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Das gab ein großes Feuerwerk, then there was a great firework. Die Nachbarn haben nicht gerast, the neighbors hadn't, when I looked up gerast, it was like not grubbing for money or hadn't asked, you know, hadn't stolen anything, hadn't come after anything. Just a second. My screen just went blank. Und fühlten sich gleich angemacht. And I guess felt that, like they'd just been come on to or been taken advantage of. Dabei schoss man am Horizont, then somebody shoots into the horizon, auf 99 Luftballons, at the 99 balloons.
Okay.
So those are the German lyrics.
Oh wow! Well, that's cool. It's amazing how
much. Those are the German lyrics for it. But I was surprised when I was like UFOs.
Right. It's very different.
Right. It's very different. I guess it was considered then an anti-nuclear protest song. So I think the general feeling that the Nina is the one that came up, the person who sung it, I guess she released the English lyrics as well, and they were not the direct translation of them. But I guess it was supposed to convey the same general feeling. But
right. Wow. Well, that's cool.
Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So
that's always
looking at that, and I just thought you would.
No, hey, that's cool. That's very cool. It's neat. We have people in our church that can speak German and Spanish. That's awesome.
Exactly. Who would have thought?
Thank you.
No problem. All right. We'll be listening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Very interesting. And, of course, we covered that subject here on the one of our broadcasts about the alien deception that's coming, and it's going to be part of the whole end time deception that's going to go down. But very interesting that she would have that different of lyrics in German versus in English, but just interesting that what people do. But hey, it's her song. I guess she can do what she wants to with it, huh? Well, all right, listen, we have plenty of time. We got 42 minutes left in the program. If you want to call with a comment or a question, we encourage you to do so. 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566. Just going back to the whole Russia aspect of this, we didn't really cover this in the early part of the broadcast, but I've always believed, and this goes back to when I was a young man coming into the ministry in Revelation 6, I always believed that the red horse was the spirit of communism. Matter of fact, we're going to turn there. We're just going to read Revelation chapter 6 here about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Of course, last week we talked about the black horse a little bit and the green horse. But we didn't talk about the red horse. And this being, of course, my daughter-in-law's prophetic dream about the red balloon being popped in the White House and the White House going into panic and chaos. And, of course, her name, Marsha, meaning the god of war or warlike, I believe is just a warning. But look at what it says here concerning the red horse in the book of Revelation. We'll just start reading from verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. You know, as I've shared before, in Zechariah 6, and this is how we know, we have people giving their own interpretations of things all the time, but when it comes to the laws of interpretation, or what we call hermeneutics, of interpreting the Bible, when you get into the symbolic language like this, what you always do first is you let the Bible interpret the Bible, meaning you go to a passage, another passage that may seem similar or very close, and you see what did this represent in that passage. More than likely, God is using it again to represent something very similar. Well, we see this in Zechariah 6. So one of the ancient prophets, the Hebrew prophets of Israel, saw a vision, Zechariah in Zechariah 6, and he saw a vision of horses, and he saw these horses pulling chariots, and one of them was white, and one of them was red, and one of them was black, and another one was what they called speckled horses. But what we see in that passage is we see that Zechariah turns to the angel that's showing this vision of these colored horses pulling these chariots, and he says, "What are these, Lord?" And he says, "These are the spirits of the heavens going forth into the earth." Now, this is where we miss it when we start putting our own spin on this. I've heard people all my life say that the white horse represents the Antichrist, that when the last 7 years starts, that the seven seals begin first, and then you have the seven trumpets, and then you have the seven vials, and that's how it works. And, of course, that's not how it works, but that's what they say. It's all in the last 7 years. And they say that this white horse with the guy on it, the rider with the crown, going forth to conquer with a bow in his hand, that this is the Antichrist. Well, folks, it never says it's the Antichrist. If you say it's the Antichrist, it's just an assumption. You're just guessing. You're grasping at straws. If we go back to the Bible in Zechariah 6 and we look at what the white horses were pulling the chariots in Zechariah's vision, we see that they were spirits of the heavens. Now, these are evil spirits of the heavens going forth with an ideology, going forth with a belief system or an idea to influence the masses. That's what demonic forces and principalities and powers of Satan do. They go forth with ideas, ideologies, and to deceive masses of people. So this first beast, I mean, this first seal here, when he opened it, he said, "I saw a white horse, and there was someone sitting on it with a crown, and a bow was given, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." I see that not as the Antichrist, because you just have to make that up, but I see this as an evil spirit that was released to go forth and try to conquer the earth to bring it under a world government, which is why you see white involved in the United Nations. You see white horse with a rider on it, the symbol of the Council on Foreign Relations, whose goal is to bring in a world government. You see the Pope also wearing white and riding in a white Popemobile and all that, and their goal is to bring in a world government via the UN. So I see this as an ideology, a demon spirit-driven ideology going forth over all the earth to conquer the earth and bring it under a world government. And there's a lot of forces working together for this same goal, but white's involved in it. Well, it's the same thing you see. We go to the next one, and he says he opened the second seal, and I saw the second seal, a red horse. And the rider on that red horse, he had a great sword, and it said that he had power was given unto him to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Well, this red horse If we see, if we look into the world, we see an ideology, a belief system that's gone forth, an evil one of what we would call communism, socialism, fascism, all of those belief systems that believe that you should have a dictator, that all social aspects, economy, and everything should be controlled by the state, owned by the state, run by the state. That whole mentality that we saw with Hitler, that we saw with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, with the communist overthrow of the czars of Russia, and so on down the line, you see that in their flags and in their belief system, you always see the color red. Matter of fact, it's well known the color of communism is red. The old Soviet flag was red. The Chinese flag of communist China is red. And so God didn't miss it here. The Bible was very specific that a red spirit would go forth over the earth and take peace from the earth. If you think about the rise of communism and fascism and Nazism in the world, you think about what they did when they came into power. Look at what the Bolsheviks did, the revolution against the czars, the revolution in Russia. When communism took over Russia, millions of people died. Millions. Wars were started in Vietnam and Korea. That's where you got North Korea and South Korea from. You got North Vietnam. And I mean, you see, the battle has been this spirit trying to spread its ideology, its influence, its idea of controlling the world through force, through death and brutality. We know that Mao Zedong in China and the Chinese Revolution killed, you know, just tens of millions. It could be upwards of 100 million plus, 200 million. The Russians, of course, the Soviet communists just killed, I mean, just millions and millions and millions of their own people. So this red spirit, this red demon force that was represented by this horse, this red horse and this rider, created an ideology that went across the earth. That's why we see the same thing with the black horse. This black horse, I believe, represents the economic system that's built upon that black crude oil, that petrodollar lie of the United States of America, that, you know, that we couldn't, you know, we've known for years we could have gotten away from being dependent on Middle Eastern oil. But that's all a lie. It's all a lie to keep us in bondage and keep us messed up. And this whole lie is going to end up destroying the economy and destroying, you know, we see it going to destroy the agriculture and destroy and bring famine and everything else. So,
on Middle Eastern oil. But that's all a lie. It's all a lie to keep us in bondage.
Oh, we're having a sound problem here. Hang on 1 second. Are we back? Okay, sorry about that. We had a little glitch there happen. But anyway, I wanted you to see that, and we go to the, you know, of course, the last horse, the King James says the pale horse, but the pale horse, of course, there, the Greek word is chloros, which means green, and it's always used for green grass or green trees in the Greek New Testament. So it's a green horse, and we see that as Islam, because the sacred color of Islam is green, and that is a belief system. It's an ideology that's taken hold of. And what's interesting, it says that the green horse would take control of one quarter of the world. Well, right now, there's 7 billion people in the world, and the green horse, the green evil spirit, has control over about 1.8 billion Muslims. Well, what is that? That's one quarter of the population of the world. So God's word is very, very specific. But see, a lot of people think, well, okay, that red horse, did he just go away after 1989? I mean, come on, guys. Did he just leave us? Did he decide I'm going to ride off into the sunset and never show up and never do anything evil again? No, and that's why you see the rise of the Russian bear again. The red horse is rearing his head. What's interesting is I believe what God is showing us is that all four of these spirits started riding a long time ago. At different points in history, these horses started riding, but now they're coming into their fullness. They're coming into the manifestation and the full fruition of their evil plot, and that is to control the portions of the world that they can control and to bring destruction to the world that they can bring. And that's why, here, you read this right here. You know, a lot of people wanted me to do some more teaching on the on the book of Revelation. Well, you're getting it right now. But these seals, these first four seals, you got the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and then the green horse. And, of course, the green horse, it says that, you know, death and hell follows him, right? The rider on him is death. The very next seal that's open, the fifth seal, says this. He said, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, Lord, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, as it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and also of their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So we're going to see the full fruition of these evil spirits, the white horse, the red horse, the green horse, the black horse, and the green horse. We're going to see the fruition of that is the persecution of the church, the persecution of Israel, the Jews, and the persecution of those who have the faith of Jesus and keep his commandments. I mean, that is what the book of Revelation says would happen. You know, the world thinks they're so smart, but they end up doing exactly what God said they would do. All right? Look, let me just read it. This is Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. And he says this about the dragon, which is Satan. We're going to go down and let's see. We'll read. Oh, gosh. It's just all so good. It's just hard to cut out some of it. We'll just read from verse 7. He says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found any more place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for us, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. If you go back and read, the woman with the 12 stars around her head is not the Roman Catholic Church. The woman with the 12 stars around her head, the moon at her feet, that represents Israel. That was the Lord's first beloved. And Israel, it says, that she brought forth the man-child. Jesus was a Jew. He was birthed from the Jews. He came forth from the Jews. He is a Jew. He's not a black man. He's not a white man. He's a Jew. It's simple, y'all. Right? And it says that the dragon persecuted the woman. Look at that. Let's just read it again. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. So the persecution of Israel. This is why you're seeing in the press this weird, away from Israel, that everybody hates Israel. Now, even now, Barack Obama, I mean, he couldn't be more clear where he stands, right? Well, everybody's saying, oh, Israel is occupying Gaza or occupying the land. No, they're not. Look at verse 14. He says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. So God promises supernatural protection for Israel through this time period, which is what we see in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39. When Russia comes, when that war comes against them, God intervenes and supernaturally helps them. Not that Israel won't fight and use their weapons, but God intervenes and helps. And then he says, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, or very angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the war, in Satan's mind in these last days, is against the woman, the Jews, the nation of Israel, and the remnant of her seed, those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, the true Christians. That's the war that's coming. And so all those spirits that we looked at back there, the spirits represented by those four horsemen, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the green, they're all anti-Israel and anti-Christian. You see it manifested in each one of those realms, especially in that green horse, don't you? That green horse, that Muslim horse, boy, he hates the Jews and the Christians, trying to wipe them out, right? Anyway, I feel like I've just run my mouth so much. You got anything you want to add here?
Well, I just got two little things that, just kind of two little morsels that has popped into my mind. I just wanted to share with everybody a couple of things that we had touched base on tonight. We had mentioned the murals in the Denver airport. You know, one of the things that those of us who are awake and see the things in the world that are happening, it's become very apparent that the globalist, elitist, Luciferians, the Satanists of the world, they like to show you what they're going to do. And that's a classic example. Just as the mural in the Denver airport is basically an illustrated warning for those of us who are awake, so too is the very good probability, and it's a very good probability, of the English version, lyrically, the differential in the balloon song from the German original lyrics, with the mentioning of the color of the mentioned balloons in the song being red. Now, it would be interesting if that song was put into any other languages, if the mention of the red was mentioned. Perhaps it was actually meant for just the English people. Just a little morsel to chew on. Because one of the things with Satan, Satan's a braggart. And those that walk in the shadows with him, they pull off a lot of things, but they have a hard time being humble about it. And the more awake that we become, and the more discernment that you get from the Lord and a true, obedient, focused walk with him, you're going to be amazed at the things that you see around you that are exposed and taken out of the haze. So it's just a couple of morsels I wanted to throw at you on that, kind of tying in those two things tonight.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, listen, I see we have some people in the chat room. If you have a question or a comment, of course, I don't know if the chat room's working or not. I'm not seeing anything registering there for some reason, but you can call 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. You know, I want to really, really stress this about the book of Revelation. Don't allow yourself to embrace doctrines that are built on assumptions. We need to look at what the scripture says, let other passages in the Bible interpret those for us, and then we need to look at the world and see how that's worked out in history or is working out now in the real world. We know we're in the last days. You say, well, Pastor Dean, how do you know that you know? Well, I know because there's certain things that had to happen. We had to have the prophecy fulfilled of the nation of Israel returning to their land and becoming a nation again. That was in Isaiah 11 and other places in the Old Testament. That had to happen before we could have an end time prophecy. It was the beginning of it all. And then, on top of that, we know from what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, and matter of fact, why don't we just look there? I think I have it right here, Luke 21. See if I'm in the right place. But in Luke 21, Jesus made a very interesting statement when he talked about Jerusalem, when you saw Jerusalem being surrounded, right? We're going to read it, Luke 21 here, really kind of 9 through 28, but we're not going to read every bit of it. I'm just going to read some stuff here. He said this, Jesus gave us these warnings. He said, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, And he said that a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. He said, then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. But now I want to back up a little bit. That's just some excerpts from the book of Luke. But I'm going to turn back to it myself here. But I want you to look at verses 22 here. Jesus starts giving these signs about the great earthquakes in diverse places, nations rising against nations, these specific things. And we've talked about how the earthquakes have doubled, big major earthquakes have doubled just in the first 3 months of 2014, which is unprecedented. But he says here in verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So a lot of people try to say that Jesus here in Luke 21 or the passage in Matthew 24 that corresponds to this was all about the first century. But it couldn't be, because Jesus says, these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written in the prophecies of the Bible will be fulfilled. That's the end. That's the second coming of Jesus. That's everything that God's ever spoken about the last days being done, being finished. He said, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. He says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So he clearly warned us that this surrounding of Jerusalem, this being trodden down of Jerusalem, this thing would be at the time when all things would be fulfilled, the days of vengeance. So I wanted to point that out because it's very important to understand we are in that generation. And for Jerusalem to be surrounded, and of course verse 20 will back up, Jesus said, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies or surrounded with armies, then you know that the desolation thereof is near. Well, for that to happen in the days of vengeance, when all things will be fulfilled in the last days, that means Israel would have to be back in the land and be a nation again. And it means that they would have to have Jerusalem, because why would the enemies surround Jerusalem and want it if they had it? So that means Israel would have to have Jerusalem. Well, guess what? That took place in 1967. And so the Six-Day War, June 1967, so we are in the generation that Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, this is the generation that will not pass until these things be fulfilled. And I was born in 1967. It is my generation. I believe God called me and raised me up and spoke to me and prepared me to preach this message and teach this message because he knew that it would be my generation. And that he started with me as a very young man to begin to prepare me for this hour and for this time to give a warning. We are in that time. It's not a scare tactic. It's not an exaggerated view of the end times. We had a little discussion about that earlier. I'm not going to say who wrote the article, but about having an exaggerated view of the end times. But I don't know how you can exaggerate when Jesus said it would be a time of trouble like there never has been since there was a nation. So how can you exaggerate it beyond what Jesus said about it? How can you exaggerate? There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. How can you exaggerate? There's going to be wars that kill, a war that kills one-third of mankind. It's kind of hard to exaggerate these things. God, we don't have to exaggerate. We just say what it says.
And also, too, the reality of it all is this isn't a doom and gloom message for the true believer in Jesus Christ. This is a message of hope for the believer, it should also be a confirmation of the true inerrancy of the Bible. God's word is true from the beginning to the end. And as these things transpire right before your very eyes, it is the greatest of confirmations. So we're not giving you a doom and gloom message. It's a message of hope. It's a message that should instill joy into you, knowing that when you see these signs, know that your redemption draws nigh. That we are in these times, and it's going to happen. It's not going to be stopped or turned around. So, I mean, the doom and gloom moniker is something that can be hung on some other doorstop, but not on the message that we're preaching.
Amen. Amen. We have a very important phone call. It looks like we have a good brother on the line, my brother. We're going to take his call. It says he has something to share that's very important. Alan,
can
are you
hear
on
me?
The line? Yeah, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How much time? About 15 minutes?
We got about 15 minutes. So you just go with it.
All right. Now, I told you today, Marcia, my wife, had to do some things with Ben, so I was taking care of Abby. And I knew you were going to talk about, you spoke about what she saw, the dream, right?
Right, Marcia's dream, yes.
Right, because I haven't heard any of what y'all said so far, so I have no idea what you said, but I felt, they got home a little early, and I felt so burdened to pray and here in the bonus room and just began to pray and just, for, of course, worshiping God and just praying. And I had no intention on calling. I don't want to go, talk, preach, go on the radio without having spent time with Jesus. I want to make sure that I'm saying it with his by his spirit and the way he would want me to say it. So I had no intention to come on the radio. Am I loud enough?
Oh, are you good? You're clear.
I was just praying about a lot of things, personal things to start with, and then as time went on, this is burden began to pray for churches, revival, and specifically where we are, the time we're living in. That's what it just began to come out of my mouth, the time we're living in, and just in the middle of that, just tears streaming down my face. It was just a burden, and so I was praying, and I got to the point where I just felt, again, I should pray about Marcia's dream. And I just, from deep in my heart, praying to God, just, Lord, is there anything else? I don't know everything you said there, but, and when I began to just pray about it again, the Lord just gave me such a rhema and just began to talk to me. Let me show you something. And as I began to go back through that, the Lord said, there's a reason she walked into a party. And I said, what, Lord? I wasn't really thinking about that, He said, where in my word did I walk into a party? And I said, oh. He said, I want you to read that. Daniel 5. And I said, Lord, and then I began to continue to pray. Yeah. And I said, the red balloon. And I just was asking the God, Lord, are we seeing everything you want us to see about that? And the Lord reminded me, and I mentioned this to you the other day, when I spent a little bit of time praying about it and looked it up, But going back to the 1956 film, did you mention that? I don't know if you did or not. Film called Red Balloon?
I did mention it.
You did mention it. But that film, the Red Balloon represented hope and peace, and it was persecuted against. It was a representation of Europe. It was made in Europe coming out of World War II, and it represented a type of hope. And then in the 80s, 1984, you had that song, which was really big around the world. And what that red balloon represented was, of course, the peace, and specifically the concern between the USSR and the United States on the nuclear issue. Really, the song was written, you probably mentioned this, around the nuclear weapons that were deployed. Did you mention that earlier?
Yes.
All right. And I began, and again, in this whole time, you know, God was speaking, tears are just streaming down my face. And the Lord just walked me through that 1956 film through the 80s, and that song was that balloon. Marsha walked into that room with that balloon, and that balloon represented the restraint and the mercy of God and the restraint from a nuclear war off the earth. That's what the balloon represented. And when that balloon popped, God was saying, there will no longer be a nuclear war restraint off the earth. It's gone. And when I came out of there and turned to Daniel 5, it just blew me away. Daniel, can I read a little?
Read it, yes, definitely.
I'm just going to read a few. And many of you, I'm sure, know at least part of this, but Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave command to bring in the gold and the silver vessels. And it goes on. They brought in the gold, the vessels taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. The king and his lords, his wives, his concubines, and drank before them. They were having a party. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And going over to same chapter 5, for the sake of time, 22 through 28, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, you have drunk wine from them. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all of your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written. And of course, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but meaning bean, tekel, you farson. This is the interpretation of each word. Mean, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And I want to tell you, I knew, that's why I called. I had to call. God wanted this said. I'm telling you, he put it together just in such a powerful moment. He said, let me explain a little further. This is America.
Yep.
The balloon was the restraint of nuclear war off the earth, God's mercy to restrain it from the earth, and it's gone.
Well, brother, I believe that is a word from the Lord. You know, Sunday morning, when I shared the vision that I saw the hand of God a few weeks back slap down a predator drone, and I shared Sunday morning, just this past Sunday morning, that the Lord told me when I got up and prayed Sunday morning that it wasn't just protection from an attack of a predator drone, that that predator drone represented the United States, and that the hand of God came out of the sky just like he did in the days of Daniel. When he came out, his hand appeared, and he wrote that on the wall for the kingdom of Babylon to fall. And folks, let me just say, the word of the Lord is being given this evening. Amen. Hang on a second here. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I think instead of this time the Medes and the Persians, I think that our country has been given away to the Chinese and the Russians. And I think that word right there today from Brother Allen is, if that did not open your eyes and shake you, it should. Because that truly was directly from the Lord. Definitely. And Brother Allen, I thank you so much for sharing that with us this evening.
No, glad to do it. I'm telling you, I had to call. It was
praise God.
God wanted it. And,
amen.
I tell you, it is a sobering when God puts it all together even stronger. It is a sobering reality that we are in Daniel 5. That is America. And I just think about the wisdom of God. And I don't know if you said this earlier, Dean, when you brought it up with Marcia. What was so powerful, and this is the part that got me, when she was telling me the vision, I told you what stood out and made my heart drop. She finished. Did you say this part?
No, go ahead.
She finished. And you would think the first question I would ask would be something else. But my first question was, what color was the balloon? Because what was coming into my heart was that 1984, the meaning of that entire song. And she said it was red. And my heart dropped.
Yeah.
And God just has made it crystal clear. Your heart dropped. What you perceived it to be, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's it. I mean, you just happened to be at our church Sunday morning, so you know the presence of God just came in to the building. There was a seriousness, a sober moving of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, when I said the words, time is almost up for America, these are not just words I throw around easily. We are at the doors of this. It is upon us. And God uses his people who are listening, prophetic gifts, prophetic offices. He uses the office of prophets and prophetic revelation to give warnings. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to pray. It's time to intercede. It's time to repent. It's time to get some things right with God if you're not right with God at this moment. I don't know how else to say it. There's a whole lot going to go down before Jesus returns. A whole lot. And most people aren't going to make it through it. So the question that should be in all of our minds, are we ready? Are we really ready? You know, I shared it last week. We need to be prepared spiritually, emotionally, and physically. You need to get ready because everything in America is about to change. Brother, I appreciate you calling in and sharing what God laid on your heart tonight. It was very important. But we are out of time. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell here with Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter, and, of course, my brother Alan Odell with a powerful word. Listen closely.
to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.